You, Austin Aries, are beneath me. You are no threat to the king. And besides, sitting back and watching your ego spiral out of control is going to make my inevitable victory at WrestleMania just that little bit more satisfying.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I'm sorry, Neville, but that by far is the worst and most unbelievable interview segment I've ever done here on Monday Night Raw. You know why? Because I hear the words that are coming out of your mouth. Everyone here hears the words that are coming out of your mouth, but what I see is something different. What I see, Neville, is a man who knows he has to step in this ring with another man who's not at his level, but is above his level. So here's what I want you to do. For the next 13 days, I want you to say it over and over and over again. I want you to tell anybody who will listen that you are the king of the cruiserweights. Because after WrestleMania, when I take your championship, this whole facade that you've made up is gonna be over.
Hello and welcome to
Wealth and Fish, I'm back. So anything you've been saying about me on this show, trying to set up some sort of rivalry, put it to an end, it's all over. I'm back in the hot seat, if only for 1 week. Welcome to episode 129 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. It's been a while, but I am back in the hot seat. This week, we've got emails, the not-so-knocking news. We'll talk a little about Impact Wrestling, wrestling audiences, and probably some talk about a little thing called WrestleMania and who knows what else. But I'm not on my own. Who do I have with me? Well, it's the man who's been on more European uppercuts than anyone else. It's Kai.
Yes, I'm here as always. Well, not as always. I've been a little bit busy recently.
I was going to say, that's not true.
I'm all right. I'm here as always more than anybody else. I think that covers it. Yeah. I want to clear something up. Right. You're back here for probably just the 1 week. Why are you in the hosting seat?
Because I wanted to get back into the swing of things the way that I've missed doing things.
Things have changed around here.
And don't I know it.
When was the last time you were on?
A while back.
Have you been on this year?
Once, I think. I've done one.
Wow. God, this year's going quickly.
Yeah.
When you were last up here, I had a cheap microphone. Now I'm sat here with a £140 one that I nicked.
I'm boasting about it.
I shouldn't really say it.
I suppose I'll just clarify a couple of things, you know, about why I've not been around, and it's not because that I'm not bothered. I'm not interested.
He died.
I'm definitely not dead. That is a fact. I am definitely not dead. I've actually just got so many things going on with work. My work's moved offices. The new office I'm in, I can't get a nice, clear, quiet space to record in the kind of times I'm available to record, which is a bit of a nightmare. I try to record at home. It's just totally impossible. There's too much going on with the two kids and stuff like that at home. So I've kind of had to rely on my friends and trusted colleagues here at the European Uppercut to keep things going. And that's meant we've made some changes where necessary to have some solo shows that Kiwi's done a couple and you yourself have done one as well, Kai. So much appreciation to everybody for keeping things going while I'm not around. I have been doing bits and pieces behind the scenes, doing lots of bits of production and a lot of bits of organisation where necessary and speaking to people and keeping things going. So I'm not totally, you know, out of the loop. I'm still in the loop. I'm just not able to be on as I want to be, which is a bit of a nightmare. But we'll move on from talking about that and get focused on this show. So, as mentioned, we do have one email this week, and it comes, no surprise, from the amazing Mr. Fourth Row. And he says, "Hi there, once again, it's Mr. Fourth Row checking in with my view this week. This week we had Jericho use past pictures of Owens and direct messages from Twitter, and the Miz and Maurice showed us some lost footage of Toto Bellas. My questions are, Do you like them using these quote-unquote real life and outside shows into the storylines? And more importantly, who do you think is the mole providing all this secret information? And he gives a little wink. Once again, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. So, yeah, Kai, I'm going to reveal a little bit here that you are a little out of the loop as to what's been on TV this week.
Yeah, but as you clarified at the beginning of the show why you've been off, I'm going to clarify now. As I've mentioned a few times, I am doing a professional wrestling drama dissertation at the moment.
You are not.
Which is amazing to do, and I'm loving it. But it is meaning that when I get home from spending 8 hours in a room writing, I cannot sit there and watch professional wrestling on like for 3 hours. I sit there and I've been watching What Culture a lot recently. I've gone through pretty much every video in their entire library, and I want to apologize for any remarks I made about What Culture about 2.5 years ago. when we were on here and I said about how shit What Culture was, I hadn't really seen it. But
what
yeah,
I got changed a lot.
And I've sort of been struggling to find it in me to sit and watch a 3-hour show of wrestling. And that's mainly down to the fact that of my dissertation being due. But that is due 2 days after WrestleMania. I'm aiming to get it in for the 31st of March so I can sit down and enjoy WrestleMania weekend. So let's fingers crossed for that. But yeah, I have not seen any of Raw from this week, any of SmackDown from this week, or last week's SmackDown, I think. And that out of the loop.
Okay, so just to kind of bring into perspective what happened on Raw this week, Jericho, what happened is we're showing how the real Kevin Owens was obviously at one point a fan of Chris Jericho. Showed him when he was 16 years old in a Y2J t-shirt in his bedroom with a picture of Y2J on the wall and stuff like that. They also showed some clips from a private message they allegedly had about how Kevin Owens is really appreciative of everything that Jericho is doing for him and stuff like that. So, you know, whether that was real or not, who really knows, but you know, that's really what they were doing there. And the Miz and Maurice thing, I've not really looked into this, but I do have a kind of brief insight. I believe that Miz and Maurice have basically been doing an impersonation of Cena and Nikki Bella, allegedly from Total Bellas, so I believe it's something to do with that. So, bringing the real world into the kayfabe world, where do you stand on it? Is it a good idea? Where does the line get drawn as to how far they can go with that?
Yes, completely. This is exactly what my dissertation's on. You know, the world of wrestling has always been reflective of the cultural and political state of the United States of America and across the world. Oh, fucking hell.
Is this spoilers to your dissertation?
Yeah, that's the title of my dissertation.
It's all spoilers.
The whole idea is that, yeah, wrestling has always reflected the real world, and we've entered this... I sound like such a pretentious asshole when I'm talking like this, but we have entered... we've emerged in a postmodern setting for professional wrestling where kayfabe is dead. Kayfabe is dead and narratives move on, and we have to accept that we can create new narratives in this new era. It's the reality era, as WWE calls it.
So, yeah, the reality era is not an expression I particularly like. But to say kayfabe is dead is probably accurate, but at the same time, we have a new level of what kayfabe is really about. So rather than all this fictitious characters and fictional world that they live in, it's really all about what they're disclosing, what they're not disclosing, where the curtains are drawn and where they're not drawn, what they're willing to reveal, what they're not willing to reveal to the audience. So, you know, things are kind of changing how they logically structure any content now.
I think it's a case of that the curtains haven't been... people say, oh, the curtains have been opened and we can see everything. I don't believe that. I think the curtains have been moved. The curtains are now sat in the garden. and you can see part of the garden and the inner workings of what's in your backyard, but you can't see beyond your wall.
I think it's more like blinds. You can see little bits through the gaps where they let you see through the gaps, but you can't see those bits.
Yeah, I think that's... Oh, God, these are weird analogies. What have we... Everyone's going to think we've been hanging out with A.H. Walker.
That's not happened. No, he's not been here. Moving swiftly along. But yeah, I mean...
Where's my chocolate?
Yeah, so you know, it's really about... I suppose spoilers is the society, you know, the thing that they're keeping back and trying to hold off on is holding back on spoilers rather than the fictional world that used to be. You know, we don't have so many fake families being stuck together like Kane and Undertaker as brothers. That's not something they allude to very often either, you know, even though technically they've already laid that groundwork, there's nothing they can do about it. But, you know, even the teams like the Major Brothers for a while, you know, slap together your brothers, even though you're not really.
Yeah.
So there's a lot less of that. So the kayfabe world as was is gone. But yeah, it's really about holding back on spoilers and reveals really now more than anything else. And obviously some of the inner workings and the psychology and how they build and structure things is where they really kind of hold back. But where do you draw the line? How much can they show? How much can they reveal then is the next question. How much can they bring into play in a storyline?
I think it all depends on the nature of the storyline. Mm. And if we're at a point where we go, well, it would add to the storyline, then do it. You know, we're at a point now with WWE where there's nobody sitting in that audience as an adult who believes that this isn't a scripted narrative like a film, like going to see a film or a theatre production. So you can use these meta sort of nods that some people will get, some people won't. And it's kind of like, you know, when you, like the Disney films are well known for having these secret nuggets in each one where there's like a little story behind them and it links each Disney film together, but only the most hardcore Disney fans notice them when they first watch them and look out for them. A lot of people, they pass by. And then 15 years later, it ends up on a compilation video on Facebook going, oh my God, did you notice this?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I've noticed that Woody was in another Disney film as well as someone's toy. I did notice that. But that's the point. Some people will notice them, some people won't. And it's a clever thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's lots of things in terms of Disney movies, etc., where there's a lot of overlap and characters kind of tucked and hidden from view and overlapping things, you know. But when it comes to wrestling, you know, where do we draw the line? I deliberately flash back to things like the Big Show's dad dying, Jerry Lawler's heart attack, and things like that being brought into play in storylines. You know, is that acceptable? Obviously, there has to be a level of agreeance backstage before the fact that, you know, this is going to happen. We're going to talk about this. I even bring into play Charlotte Flair talking about Reed Flair and all the rest of it. You know, what is that level where we shouldn't really be using that as a storyline?
In my opinion, as long as the people involved sign off on it and it furthers the storyline, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. Let's talk about the Reed Flair situation, for example. Yeah. It got everyone talking about that storyline. Yep. Charlotte signed off on it. Now, I'd have probably asked Rick.
Yes, absolutely. This is where I worry about that one.
That's where they went wrong, in my opinion. But then again, because I think it's that sort of ethic side of things. Yeah, ask Rick. But Charlotte signed off on it. Paige signed off on it. You know, it's as if it's one of those things where, and Jerry Lawler, for example, no one was forcing him to go out there and make a storyline with CM Punk about his heart attack. If he'd have said no, then I'm sure they wouldn't have run with it. And I'm sure that, you know, say if even if the WWE said no, if he turned around to Punk and went, I'm not feeling up for it, Punk would have, you know, I think we all know what a Punk's like. He probably would have, you know, just gone off and refused to do it anyway. It all depends on the person, the situation, and the timing of things.
Okay, fair enough. I think we've kind of gone in depth on that enough because, you know, I could really stew on some more of these talks, but I think we've kind of covered the main points for what Mr. Forthrow was wondering. And I think, yes, there's always a place to summarise. There's always a place to bring real life into the current WWE world because it isn't such a kayfabe world anymore. And how do you create and brew realistic seeming storylines and setups towards matches? You use the real world. And it's just it's so simple to do. And as long as you say, those involved are in the loop and give the okay on it, then it's all go. However, my one thing is, always think about other people who may be affected by that same storyline being used. If you're talking about Ric Flair, the other members of the direct family, are they okay with that? That's my it also only depends little on, thing.
It also depends on what the storyline is as well and how it can, if it's something that can help people and get awareness to a particular topic. Like, there's a big thing in the media here in the UK. Do you watch Coronation Street?
No, the other half does, but I don't.
They have a storyline running at the moment with a character called Bethany Platt, who is, right. She's basically being groomed by an older man who is claiming to be her boyfriend. And he's 37, she's 16, and they're doing this, and it's quite disturbing to watch, and it's quite uncomfortable to sit there and watch it. But it's doing what soap operas do a lot in getting people talking about these situations. And so many people have complained. Ofcom had loads of complaints about this one scene where the guy was trying to, he's basically setting him up to pimp her out to his friends and to create a set, add her into this sex ring. And it's showing it. And it's very, very uncomfortable to watch before the watershed that we have over here. But it's saying something about a particular issue and it's getting people talking about it. If the WWE did that more often, that would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, certain topics, as you say, do warrant that. Whereas I think when it's that's issue-based rather than personal-based. Yeah. If someone dying, someone's heart attack is personal, whereas an issue like that is far more widespread and can have more positive impact, even though it will get a bit of negativity from those who are particularly affected by that storyline. Okay, I am going to round off on this. Mr. Forthrow, thank you very much, as always, for your dedication, sending us an email every single week, even the week when you were on the show. So much appreciated. And you too can get involved and send us emails. Please do. We love hearing what you want to talk about. So send us your emails, yourupercut@gmail.com. Send us messages on Twitter, @TheEUPod. Get in touch. We want to hear from you. Please do as the weeks go on. But on that, we're going to move on and get on to the next part of this show.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
It is time it for is the time. Not So the Knockout Zone. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. You're listening to the Not So Knockout News with me, Kieran Tuttier at Kiwi Tuts for the 21st of March 2017. TMZ reports that WWE Chairman Vince McMahon was involved in a car accident today that left his black Bentley banged up. The accident reportedly happened about a mile away from WWE HQ in Stamford, Connecticut. Law enforcement sources confirmed that Vince was driving the car when something went wrong. Another car was involved in the accident, but further details have not been confirmed. One witness described it as a minor accident, and noted that everyone was okay. The latest confirmed matches for WrestleMania 33 in a few weeks' time, or less than a few weeks' time, we have the Fatal 4-Way for the Raw Women's Championship as Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair and Bayley go for the Raw Women's Championship. Also, the WWE United States Championship is on the line, where Kevin Owens will face against Chris Jericho. Also, the WWE Cruiserweight Title Championship match has been confirmed as Austin Aries will face against Neville. Jim Cornette has been announced to induct the Rock and Roll Express into the WWE Hall of Fame. This will be the first time that Jim Cornette has been in the WWE since 1999, I believe. Also, it has been announced that Eric Bischoff will induct DDP into the WWE Hall of Fame. WWE Women's Superstar Paige was apparently the victim of a hack on Friday, as several private nude photos and videos of the WWE Superstar were leaked online. The Paige leaks comes after photos of several female celebrities, including actress Emma Watson, were stolen and leaked online this past week. There's no word if the Paige leaks are a part of the same hack, or if they were stolen from a device that belonged to Paige or any of the other people involved in the videos. Since the leak, Paige took to Twitter and wrote various statements saying personal private photos were stolen and unfortunately they were shared publicly without my consent. My thoughts are with Paige and her family at this clearly upsetting time. This week's Impact Wrestling episode featured a main event segment with the tag team division plus World Heavyweight Champion fallout with Alberto El Patron and Bobby Lashley drew 344,000 viewers. This is up from last week's 292,000 viewers and a new high for this year. It has also been confirmed that JBL and Ron Simmons will induct Teddy Long into the WWE Hall of Fame. And that is your not-so-knockout news for this week. I have been Kiwi Tuts. Bang, bang. Have a nice day.
Well, thank you very much, Kiwi, for that. GBL has taken a couple of weeks off as he is now currently in Orlando getting ready for WrestleMania, sunning up in Florida, as you do when you are the actual GBL, the GBL, not that JBL guy, the GBL. There is only one, and he normally does our news, but for the time being, Kiwi has stepped up to the plate and delivered a great bit of news there for us. Kai, some interesting stories this week.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. Shall we start off with one of the biggest ones this week, the Paige situation?
Okay. Yeah, let's just address that a little bit without going too much into it. I suppose let's be grown up about this, let's be mature about this, let's focus on the personal effect that can have on an individual having very, very intimate and personal photos and videos released to the public. It got a lot of reaction. That reaction spilled into the Raw crowd on Monday night, even. Because not only Paige that was seen in all these videos, but also other former and current WWE talent as well, looking at Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox, of all people. What were your personal feelings when this first came out?
It's one of those things where you sort of hear about it and you go, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. But also then you get to think about it and you remember that as much as we make jokes about things on this show, and we do take light of a lot of subjects that we probably shouldn't, to be honest.
Yeah.
But this is a personal situation. And it's not like Paige went out there and put them online. If she went out there and put them online herself, then if people want to make jokes, that's in a way fair game. But no, she's had these stolen, a private act that was taking place between two, three, however many people were there, or how many people were taking part in the videos, consenting adults. And these should never have been leaked without her permission. And I think that some of the stuff that I've seen online recently and hearing about what's happened on Raw, it kind of really makes me sick to think that these are the people that I consider, you know, fellow wrestling fans, because, you know, we all sort of get bounded together as this IWC, mm-hmm. and yet I don't want to be associated with anyone who is taking, who is basically harassing her as well. In so I've heard all these stories, and I've got friends of I've got mutual friends of her family that I'm friends with in real life and friends with on Facebook, and just hearing some of the words that they've said about it, and hearing that they've been harassed with them sending. I want to read this. This is the statement that this is one of the most recent statements that both Ricky and her mum put out, and Soraya Knight put out. I'm going to read the one from Soraya Knight, where she says, "I cannot lose my little girl. The whole family has taken so much shit, been blasted from all angles, but none of this is worth it. There is a broken soul here. I'm on the verge of breaking over this, and I cannot deal with this anymore. We are crushed. I really don't know how much more I can take. Well done to those who thought that this was a great idea. Well done to those who were tagging us in the pics and videos. You have done what you wanted, and let's hope to God you don't take me from one of my most treasured gifts." She said, "I'm sat with my husband. He's sobbing. He can't even speak. I'm losing everything I love. The business we love will kill us, it seems." That's... If you have read that and still are sharing the videos, talking shit about the family and making light of this situation, which has obviously devastated an entire family, then fuck you, basically. Because I know that we were saying we're going to handle this like adults, but I have no time for anyone who is harassing the family over this.
Let's turn this round to the WWE themselves. They've been pretty tight-lipped on the whole situation. There was a tiny little bit of alluding to it on Raw, whether that was the New Day themselves that came up with it, or if WWE kind of suggested it, so I don't know. But at the start of their segment, again, this is just to inform you, because I know you've not seen this yet. Basically, the three members of New Day are standing, Xavier Woods in the middle, Kofi and Big E on either side of him, and they're staring him down, and they say to him, "You got something to tell us?" And he goes, "WrestleMania is coming up." You know, it's just that little moment, that little reference to it. But I thought that as long as that's where they went with it and nowhere else, then I think that's fair enough, because you can't really have a story that's hit that big and not reference it in some way.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like you're trying to hide something, but it's not something they've caused. It's just something that happens to involve their talent.
Obviously, I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment on it. But I do see what you're saying there. And it's kind of, it does sound a bit like a double standard in a way, because I know that on this show we've made many jokes about the Hulk Hogan situation, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've made lots of jokes about that. And to be honest, it is a double standard. We shouldn't have really done it, but we were more making jokes at the time because he was in the news for being found as racist, and not very nice to a lot of people. Paige, in a way, like, there's been a lot of stuff about her personal life, but she's, and a lot of people are saying stuff like, "Oh, well, she's with Alberto Del Rio and that whole relationship," and making jokes about that. But to be honest, she's not doing anything wrong. She's an adult, and
what she does in her private time is her private business.
I think that's there's a line,
yeah.
When it comes to making jokes, like, we have made jokes on this show about her and Alberto Del Rio and that relationship. That's celebrity satire of relationships.
And believe me, there are people out there that have made much stronger jokes on all of these subjects. And this very subject we're talking about isn't, you know, excluded from that. Those jokes are going on as we speak out there. I'm sure Adam's probably had a few one-offs, but I know Adam does it because Adam likes to toe that line with his humour.
Yeah.
He's not doing it because he's necessarily condoning it in any which way, but it's just his way of conveying the topic, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But and it's not people like that I've got the, no, that I'm throwing the issue with. I'm throwing with the issue with the people who were sending the photos to her parents. Yeah. That's just And this is a family that are well known for being, you know, living, breathing, bleeding for this industry.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the chance to meet Ricky Knight, and he was, when I met him, he was absolutely lovely, nothing like you'd expect. Because let's face it, the family have got a bit of a reputation for being a little bit out there and a little bit crazy at times, but the guy was so down to earth and really, really friendly and nice. And I don't know, this story sort of hit me, and I've gone, imagine if I sort of sat there and went, if this was my sister in this situation, or if one day this was my daughter in this situation, I would not be too pleased. And it has made me rethink how the sort of jokes that I've made in the past in other situations, but, and I'm sure I'll make jokes again, but it's kind of hit me as this one, in a sort of, it's, I've seen firsthand how it is from being friends with mutual.
I think there's a big difference. This is the thing, there's a big difference between jokes and maliciousness.
Yes.
That's the thing here. There's a very clear dividing line that separates a joke amongst friends from maliciously doing something. The stealing of the files and circulating them to begin with, the further circulation of them, and deliberately making sure the parents got to see them. That is a whole other level of conversation. It's totally separate from a joke here or a joke there. And that's what we need to kind of distance ourselves from, is that maliciousness.
Going back to when you're talking about the WWE and how they handled it on Raw, how the New Day handled it, that to me, it sounds like the best way to do it. You know, you make a comment about it in a satirical way, but they have not in any way mentioned Paige. They are taking the mickey out of someone who is on screen. And the whole fact that this has been shared around as, and all the media outlets have been sharing it around as, Paige sex tapes have been shared around. That's wrong, really, because there's something to say about the media and how they deal with it, in the fact that they have, it took me 2 days after knowing about Paige's sex tape, you know, the leaks of the videos and pictures, to know that Brad Maddox and Xavier Woods were involved.
It took me at least 2 days to find out, even start the conversation even existed. I knew nothing about it till you messaged me.
It was 2 days because no one was covering the fact that it was those two.
Yeah.
Like, it took me digging on Twitter to find out that Brad Maddox was trending, and I went, what the hell? Why is that happening? And it shouldn't get to that point where media outlets are, there's something to be said about media outlets judging the female versus the male, but that's a whole different conversation for another day.
And that is exactly what has been going on, but I think you're right, it's a totally different conversation for a totally different podcast altogether. I think we need to tie a bow on this one for just now, but please, people, just let's put an end to this. Stop circulating the videos, the photographs, whatever you happen to have. Just let it come to an end. Leave them in peace. Let them get on with life as it should be. Thank you. Let's go to another story. Vince McMahon in a bit of a prang in his Bentley, of all things.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything on this?
I have. I've seen the photo of him walking away from the vehicle. I hope he's okay.
Apparently he's fine, yeah. But from what I've read,
find it.
I don't know anything about what happened, what caused it, or quite how it came to be. I've seen the photos myself as well. I'm glad he's obviously been able to walk away from it. That's the important part of this here. I hope there's no issues with any concussions or anything, because sometimes they can be delayed before you actually realize you've had the concussion. I hope there's no issues like that going on, and obviously, fingers crossed, nothing comes out later to the contrary. But let's move again on from that. A few bits of Hall of Fame news. We'll start off with Eric Bischoff inducting DDP and the Acolytes inducting Teddy Long. The last one's not a surprise, really, let's be honest. The APA.
Yeah, it's some big news stories, you know. So the three are Eric Bischoff, DDP, Jim Cornette is in.
Well, I was holding off on Cornette.
Oh, sorry.
JBL and Ron Simmons inducting Teddy Long.
We've those known ones, that for a little while, though, haven't we?
Well, it was speculated. It wasn't known. It was speculated that would be the case. But the Cornette inducting the Rock and Roll Express is brilliant. It's a really interesting one. Cornette, who, as Kiwi said there, doesn't seem like he's been involved with WWE since about 1999. He's been with TNA and all sorts since then. His last
appearance on screen was WrestleMania 17, the gimmick Battle Royal.
Of course, yes, absolutely. That's a good, very good point. And to see him back on WWE TV in the next couple of weeks is going to be quite an interesting one. Will he behave himself? There's the question of a live camera in front of him.
God knows.
he's been known to be outspoken in the past. Can he keep it inside and hold it off for another time? Or is he actually starting to mend bridges? Are we putting the past in the past and Jim Cornette actually maybe even himself gets an induction somewhere down the line?
Well, I think it's great that that people are growing up and there is less spite in the industry. And I've liked the idea that Eric Bischoff has been showing up on, you know, on the WWE Network. He was on Legends with JBL. Eventually, he'll end up on Legends with Kai Valentine. I've heard he does a great Elton John impression.
yeah. But that involves a few Jack Daniels first.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first one to appear on the show.
You can find Legends of Kai Valentine right here on the Trending Topics Network.
Alcohol free.
Most weeks.
It should be. But no, Jim Cornette, Eric Bischoff showing up is brilliant. You know, we've seen WWE on their... They've had a couple of DVD releases where Vince Russo's given some thoughts on superstars and histories of WWE. Mm. So it's great to have all these people coming together, and it's going to make, if I finally get to a WWE Access one day, WrestleMania Access, it's going to be fucking awesome, put it that way.
Okay, let's move on from that. Of course, Kiwi also talked about some of the matches that we know are confirmed for WrestleMania, but the kind of newest one really is Nia Jax being added to the women's match from Raw.
Yes. It's been rumoured for a while that it was going to be the Fatal 4-Way. Where's Dana Brooke standing? Have we heard anything else on that?
Well, obviously Dana had a match with Charlotte this week on Raw, came out at the losing end of that. And I'm sure we've not heard the last of it, though, is the thing.
Yeah, I'm interested to know where she ends up. And I was still thinking that we're going to get a China over the China Memorial over the top rope battle royal.
It's not coming now. You're not getting it now.
Nah, I'm still wondering why they were contacting so many former WWE.
Well, I still think talent. Bear in mind the SmackDown. Is all available rostered women.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it could be more to do with that than to do with the Raw match.
And we have heard, you know, Kelly apparently is in talks for us and for another run. So it was interesting that Maryse brought her up in the conversation in a promo a couple of weeks ago. So lots of interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yep, it'd be interesting to see what comes out of some of this, actually. There's a lot of interesting stuff building, and it's making for what could be a very good WrestleMania altogether, and that I am looking forward to. Let's just take this to the last story that he touched on, which was Impact Wrestling viewerships jumped around about 50,000 last week, the highest of the year so far. Yeah, there were about 292,000 the previous week. That was 344,000 this week, this last week. So it's a big jump. 000.
You know, it's not too bad. They're moving to Spike here in the UK, aren't they?
That's in April, yeah.
Are they moving to Spike again in the US?
No,
or
no. It's exclusive for the UK.
Interesting. I know we got to a point where we were like, oh, WWE... that TNA should maybe just be bought out by WWE. But I am glad that it's still going in a way, because it's getting a lot of more guys jobs. But
yeah,
you hear about all the backstage stuff as well. But I know that you've got an update on TNA.
Yeah, we'll go a little bit more in depth on Impact Wrestling. Stop calling them TNA. They're not called TNA anymore.
Sorry.
That name is in the bin.
Is the TNA officially gone then?
Yes. Apart from the fact they've still got to phase it out from title belts and such like. But so they're no longer called TNA Productions or anything like that.
It's Anthem Impact Wrestling.
Anthem owns them, and they're Impact Wrestling.
Well, at least they're finally getting the money's worth for buying out ImpactWrestling.com.
Yeah, and as long as the Anthem Owl stays out of the ring, we should be all right. Right, okay, let's just round off on that, on the news. Thank you very much again, Kiwi, for putting the news together for us. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to hearing what you've got for us next week.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Now, we chatted about Paige there and everything that's been going on, but that's kind of created a bit of a spin-off conversation that you wanted to bring up onto the show this week about audiences and crowds and reactions and such like.
Yes.
So I thought, let's take the opportunity now to have a listen to what you've got to say about it and have a brief discussion on where you were standing on it.
Yes, I'm just getting my notes up because I made notes for this.
Well done. Good job. I'm impressed.
I know. It's the first time I've made notes since I was sat in my caravan all them years ago on the second shift. I feel like throughout this show I've been doing a lot of ranting. but you know what? I've got some shit to say this week, so I might as well carry on. Kai has a problem with... No, I'll leave that to Dan the Cannon. My main issue is... when people talk about fan chants and fans getting involved with the show and the audience getting involved with the show.
Or in some cases trying to take over.
Yeah. Now, this is my thing. I was trying to have a think about it as a football fan, and I refuse to say soccer for our American listeners. We are a European show, so I'm calling it football. But you know what I'm talking about. So over here in the UK, and you've seen it emerge in a lot of wrestling events, for example, the NXT TakeOver London event, especially football chants are a massive thing over here in the UK. And when I'm there, when I'm at a football match, the fans are wild and they have lots, and a lot of the time they chant about stuff that's nothing to do with what's going on the pitch, and they may chant about themselves or about the other team or about teams that aren't even there. Like, we every time I go to a Huddersfield Town match, there's a we all hate Leeds scum chant, and that's another football team for people who don't know.
I'm thinking how unpolitically correct that is.
And we will chant about that, and even if they're not there, and it's nothing to do with what's going on the pitch. But when it comes to football crowds, for the television product, when a football match is produced for television, the crowd aren't part of the show. They don't zoom in on chants from the on like facial expressions from the crowd very often. They don't put mics especially on the crowd, and they don't ask the crowd. Like, for example, Wayne Rooney doesn't stop halfway through a match, grab a microphone and start ranting to the crowd trying to get a response or ask them, how are you doing tonight? You know, that doesn't happen during a football match. So decisions aren't made by football fans, whereas in wrestling, the audience are very much part of the show, part of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get the idea that wrestling fans are trying to, I don't know, when you try and throw things off with chants that are nothing to do with it, for example, like the CM Punk chants, they are tiresome, they are, and like the We Are Awesome when it's just you being loud and taking over. Yeah, in the moment, the live...
Actually, on that, did you hear about the other one on Raw this week during the Nia Jax match?
Yes, this was part of my thing. The whole, because they were shouting assholes.
It started from, we got floor seats.
Yeah.
And the response was, you are arseholes or assholes anyway, whichever it was.
Now, at a football match here in the UK, that wouldn't be an issue. That would be seen as something fun because when you're watching it, it doesn't affect what's going on in the ring, on the pitch.
Yeah.
Whereas in wrestling, it can really, really damage the product. And I feel like, I'm not saying that fans should sit back and always do as they're told and react how they're supposed to how they're traditionally supposed to react. But I'm not really sure why I wanted to rant about this today. I just wanted to get that off my chest. What's your thoughts?
Right. Okay. So there's different levels of this, and part of it is that the fans do believe that if they're loud enough, they will be heard. They will get some sort of response or, I suppose, reaction from WWE, and that they may at some point make changes to suit what the fans say. And to a certain extent, yes, that's true. But as we know, as we've discussed in depth on that other podcast that hasn't been around for a long time, sometimes the better reaction is to turn your back and be silent and walk away. You know, do not react at all. That will get a bigger reaction, bigger response, bigger change out of WWE overall. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, sometimes there can be fun out of having a bit of reaction from the crowd. Let's go to Raw Glasgow, where I was there, and the Bayley chants literally took over a segment for a while, and I knew at one point that it had gone too far, so I knew that I wasn't going to be continuing to get involved with that. Didn't stop other people continuing, however, and such a big crowd that went on. The other chance that happened at that event that I want to focus on here, though, there were quite a few IC Dub chants. IC Dub being ICW, the Glasgow-based wrestling company, who now seem to have been building a bit of a relationship with WWE. We've been hearing rumours that ICW content's going to start appearing on the network, and we now know that ICW talent will be performing in ring access.
Which is amazing.
It is amazing. It just shows, though, you know, that would that have happened without the Glasgow fans being so determined to get the IC Dub chants going at that event? Probably yes.
It may be more of a detriment to them because WWE may have hurt this company, you know, getting chanted over all our product. Well, fuck them. Maybe that would be the sort of, I can imagine.
It could easily be.
I could imagine.
I think historically it would have been.
I'm just worried that the thing that's annoying me about it is that wrestling fans trying to be cool, and it's really not cool. It may seem cool in the moment, but when you go watch it back on television, you look nothing more than dicks.
Yeah,
Dick of the Week is back.
Back.
Because I am fed up of wrestling fans thinking they're cool for chanting CM Punk's name, I was at the last WWE event I went to in Nottingham, which was last April or May or whenever it was. All these fans were booing Roman Reigns and chanting Cena sucks and stuff like that. They were chanting Cena sucks. John Cena wasn't even in the fucking, you know, he wasn't even in the building. He wasn't in the country.
The same goes with the Sasha chants and all the rest of it as well. You know, there's various levels of it. And it's not just one or two cities are doing it. A lot of cities are doing it. And normally the so-called smarky crowds are the ones that are most guilty of all. I'm talking Chicago, I'm talking Brooklyn and places like that. You know, there's quite a few of these.
That's what I mean. I used to think that it was just these crowds, but I've realised, and I've come to realise that, and I'm sorry, but and this is no offence meant to anyone that I know. I'm not saying this about anyone that I know personally or through the internet or through fans of this show, but most wrestling fans are absolute dicks. It's just,
there are a lot of them, let's be honest.
People who are just, people go,
Hang on, I'm going to give you this. Wait a minute. I'm going to play this now. Are you ready?
Go on. Yeah, go on. I need this.
Dick of the Week.
Yes. Because here's the thing, right? WWE, all these fans of the WWE are sat there going, or smart fans who think they're cool going, oh, yeah, I'm cool, so I'm not going to cheer for this guy. I'm not going to be a sheep and cheer for Roman Reigns like the WWE want me to do. Oh, so you're going to be a sheep and cheer again and boo him because you're following everyone else. That is the definition of, in trying not to be a sheep, these fans have become sheep. And that, to me, is just... Oh, it's really pissed me off, and it's getting me aggravated, and I don't know why. And
I can hear your blood boiling from here.
And I'm sorry that this is your first show back, and I have just ranted over the entire thing. And I sound like an old grumpy old man, and maybe it's because I'm getting pissed off with my dissertation and stressed with everything that's going on. But fucking hell, sort yourselves out, guys. This has gone too far. My blood is boiling, and stop being dicks. Stop being dicks.
All I got to say is...
Bam!
Let's move on and we can get on to a different topic and maybe, hopefully, we can get your blood back down in temperature a little bit.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm ba 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 ba.
So now we're going to chat a little bit about where things are in the world of Impact Wrestling and kind of give some of my opinions on things that they're doing, what I think is working, what I think isn't working. But I want to preface this by really saying that I feel the last 2 weeks have been a definite improvement. I'm seeing definite progress and change going on with Impact. They've distanced themselves from the TNA name, long overdue. So glad that they finally got around to doing that. A lot of things have changed in terms of the booking of matches and content. We've got Jeff Jarrett behind the scenes now, Bruce Pritchard's back, Dutch Mantel, a.k.a. Zeb Coulter's involved and all that. And I believe even Madison Rayne is still involved in terms of the writing of content as well. Kai, first of all, what are you aware of? Where are you at in terms of what's been going on in Impact? What do you know? What don't you know?
The Hardys have left.
The Hardys have indeed left. Drew Galloway has indeed left. There's been a few changes. Mike Bennett and Maria have left.
It's got to a point where I know more about what's going on behind the scenes of TNA. than what's supposedly going on behind the scenes of TNA than what's going on television.
Just now, on the Hardys.
And just, before I keep saying TNA, it's Impact Wrestling.
Yes, it is Impact. We do not call them TNA anymore. It's done. It's gone. Bye-bye. So just to say it on the Hardys, apparently it's being rumoured that they have indeed signed a new contract with someone, or at least have a contract on the table. So let me get my facts straight. They've got a new contract on the table with WWE.
I've heard that they've signed, because Jeff Hardy did an interview where he said he signed a contract with Ring of Honor.
They signed a short-term contract, yeah. So, and there was speculation that, you know, this is exactly why, because they kind of knew this was where they were going to go, and it gave them something to do in the interim.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we are bound to WrestleMania, and whether they do make some sort of appearance at WrestleMania, or if indeed it's the Monday night Raw right after, or whatever, we don't know. But it'd be very interesting to see how and where they're utilised. What happens with the broken Matt Hardy character, because that's still under dispute. Do we see it ever, or do we see it straight away because they've managed to sort something out, or do we just see it introduced over time? Be interested to see if indeed it happens at all, because we know about Vince and things that aren't his creation, because that's a whole other conversation. So it's the Hardys tied up in a bow there. We'll leave that there, and as long as Rebby Sky doesn't go with them, all will be good in the world. Alberto El Patron, he makes his debut on the all-new Impact Wrestling, as I'm going to refer to it for the time being, and wins the Impact, still the TNA Championship, but technically it's eventually going to be the Impact Championship, but he wins that on the first night. Then this week is basically forced to return the belt back to Bobby Lashley instead of becoming vacant because of dubious circumstances and how he won it. One, great to see Alberto El Patrono, because he actually seems to be fitting in quite fast, quite well. He seems to suit there better than Lucha Underground. I don't understand why I feel that way, but he seems to suit being on Impact, and he was really playing up to the crowd this week, which is quite interesting. Really playing up to the crowd. Do you see Alberto in Impact being a good thing?
I think it's good that he's got a job. you know, I think it's... I'm sounding really cynical today. I think that it's good that he's got a job in the way of, you know, he's a talented wrestler. He's good on the mic. He's good for any company that he works for. But yeah. Is he going to draw numbers in? I'm not certain.
Yeah, the facts speak for themselves. 50,000 increase in viewership over a week is actually, you know, a suggestion that maybe something is happening. Whether it's exclusively due to him or the overall changes that they've been doing is a different conversation.
I'd like to revisit it in 3 months' time and see what the sort of, if he's still there in 3 months' time. But I'd like to see what the, you know, what the figures are in at that point, because then we'll maybe have a little bit of a better idea as to,
yeah,
as to how he is.
Absolutely. But the way they dealt with the title, I thought it was a bit odd. If they're going to take the title off him, they should make it vacant. They shouldn't just give it back to Bobby Lashley. It doesn't make sense to me. However, it does set, you know, precedent for going forward that they can build some more further storyline out of this down the road. If that's the plan, then okay, fair enough. Let's see what they do with it. We'll take that on board. But that then brings Alberto out to the ring to call out Bobby Lashley to try and get a rematch, only to be interrupted by EC3. Now, what I'm going to say there is this turned into what was quite a lengthy, decent match, well worth watching. One of the better matches I've seen on Impact for a while, I would say, in terms of at the top end of the roster. A little bit disappointed that they made EC3 tap out for the very first time to Alberto, though. It just didn't seem like they got that much faith in EC3 going forward. It kind of makes me wonder why they've done that. Yeah, they're putting over Alberto, but why against EC3 in that manner?
How is EC3 doing at the moment? Because I have not heard anything about him for a long time since.
I think he's still a great character. I think that he's had a bit of a drop in terms of where he fits in the pecking order of things. And I think it's been kind of due to the way things have gone with, obviously, storyline-wise, he was Dixie's nephew.
Yeah.
Dixie's now out of the picture.
That makes it very, very difficult.
So he's still a Carter, even though there's no Carter to be part of. I don't know, but they've not really mentioned him much. So I think he's kind of been a victim of circumstance under those kind of situations that have happened behind the scenes.
Let's hope that the new owners of Anthem don't actually think that he is
Is that they did put him in a decent lengthy match for a bit. They didn't just, you know, do a 5 minute, you know, tap out, game over. I think it ran through about 3 segments of the show, this match.
Oh wow.
So that's a good thing in itself, that they gave them plenty of time to tell the story in the ring. And I don't think, at the end of the match, they shook hands, but then Carter went backstage and had a little bit of a hissy fit about the situation. So I think we're seeing an evolution of the EC3 character about to happen, and that in itself could be quite interesting. That could elevate him back up quite easily. So I'm quite positive about where they could be going with that. I just don't like the fact that they made him tap out. Tag team scenario. With the Hardys leaving, they were holding the titles, and they did some sort of fudged finish on that the previous week, where Jeff Hardy was wrestling a kangaroo. And that segment kind of ended up in some sort of zapped out scenario where Decay found or caught the tag team titles. Don't ask me how that even is possible. it doesn't make sense in any which way. And Decay then declared themselves the tag team champions because they got the titles. However, this week, Bruce Pritchard came in the ring and said, look, Decay can't be the tag team champions just because they say so, just because they're holding the titles. We're going to have...
Hell, Bruce Pritchard, the voice of reason. There we go.
Absolutely. But, you know, they're doing an interesting thing with what seems to be the overall committee of what's happening behind the scenes. They're starting to set a pecking order of things, which is quite interesting. But he basically said, look, what they're going to do is over the next, in 2 weeks' time, they're going to have four teams competing for that title. He's not given clarity if it's going to be a fatal four-way or an elimination match or a mini tournament or whatever. But it's going to take Decay, Reno Scum, a tag team introduced last week. Another team that was introduced this week of Garza Jr. and Laredo Kid. And also LAX, who made their return this week. Now, LAX was an interesting one as well. They came out as Conan and Homicide at first, but then they were joined by two other younger guys and a girl who they didn't really name on screen, but apparently they are known as Ortiz, Santana and Diamante. So we have a new version of LAX. So I'm not sure which members of LAX are going to be fighting for that match, for that title, but in 2 weeks' time we'll find out more. But it looks like they're trying to establish and build a new, proper, effective tag team roster amongst the Impact Wrestling talent. So at least they've got the beginnings of something to build on. And that, I think, can only be a good thing as long as they stick to it and devote time to it each week. With me so far?
Yeah, I'm following along. I'm sitting back and learning shit.
As part of what's going on with the tag team championship, Tyrus and Eli Drake were in a tag match this week, but they've been having their problems now. I don't know if you know what's been going on there. Eli Drake basically employed Tyrus as his heavy, but they've been not seeing quite eye to eye as of late, and a bit of miscommunication in their match saw them going at it. And you know, I've never been a big fan of Eli Drake, have I, Kai?
No.
No, what do I think about Eli Drake?
I can't remember. Am I forgetting something?
Apparently so. I think Eli Drake is a...
dummy! Yeah!
Quite frankly. I've never liked him, never really rated him in any which way, and I just wanted him off my TV. However, this relationship change with him and Tyrus, I'm actually starting to get a bit of an interest in the character. So whether that's to do with Eli Drake growing on me or whether it's to do with the changes in direction of Impact Wrestling having an effect on my appreciation of the character, I don't know. But I'm interested a little bit here, so we'll see where that goes. Let's jump to Cody and Brandi Rhodes. Cody caring about the GFW Next Gen title. What the fuck is that all about? GFW doesn't really exist in the real world anymore on any level, so let's just get that belt off TV. It doesn't need to be there. I know Jarrett's now back in the ownership / management of Impact Wrestling, but don't need to be promoting an organization that isn't doing anything really. So let's get that title off screen. Don't need to see that. I'm not sure where they're going with the storyline, but basically while he was doing work in Japan, Moose came to the aid of Brandi Rhodes with some issues that were going on. So we're seeing a build-up of a rivalry with Cody Rhodes and Moose. But now Moose is over in Japan, and Cody's claiming that he's not in Japan at all. He's really in America and just hiding, avoiding Cody Rhodes at all costs. So there could be an interesting match coming out of this. That said, I'm quite curious to see where they're going with Cody. The relationship with him and Brandi seems quite odd and difficult at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. I'm not a big fan of Moose, though. Don't know about you. Don't know what you think of him or know if you know much about him at all, but I'm not taken to him at all at the moment.
I don't know a hell of a lot about Moose. I've heard little bits and bats about him, but he's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
he's a big guy. He looks like a wrestler, and sometimes that's all that's needed. Is he good in the ring?
He's not bad in the ring. I'm not saying he's bad in the ring, and he's just not great. There's nothing. He's not got any personality. He's an American footballer. did a lot of work with in Japan, Ring of Honor, places like he's been around the world a little bit.
This is where I know him from. He did the Five Star Wrestling.
Yes, he was on the Five Star Wrestling show, yes.
Yeah, that's from where Dundee. I recognize him from, yeah. He lost to John Morrison.
I think that's right. So you have seen him. If nothing else, you've seen him.
Yes.
Moose isn't grown on me, but I'm quite curious to see where they go with this whole Cody Moose storyline. Of course, Cody Brandy storyline, where they're going with that. So again, there's something to look forward to there, finding what they're going to do with that. Let's move on now to the X Division. There's a four-way X Division match this week. Andrew Everett, Braxton Sutter, Trevor Lee, and the return of Suicide. We'll come back to Suicide in a minute.
Is it Christopher Daniels? And
No. And again, that's part of where we're going to go in a minute. Okay. But the thing about this match is that Braxton Sutter was distracted because his new girlfriend, Ali, and I have to agree with Heavy Sex, he and Ali with Sutter does make a lot of sense, especially because of the real-life relationship. It took them a while to get the two of them together on screen, but they finally got there. That's working. But he was distracted because Laurel Van Ness was in the crowd, still in the wedding dress from the wedding that didn't happen to Braxton Sutter 2 weeks ago, which was a whole debacle. Oh, that was a piece of piss storyline. I didn't like it at all. Well, at least the way they've carried it out. But it did work in terms of getting Ali and Braxton Sutton together, so it's good to see those together. They gave a decent amount of time to this X Division match, which is good because they need to rebuild the X Division. It needs a lot of work to get where it needs to be and take it back to its peak of the past, which is a long way off now. But at least they're starting to put a bit of time into it. They need to invest in more sturdy X Division talent because they can't just rely on these guys and DJZ because that's about all it is. But that brings us back to, of course, they brought back Suicide to bolster the ranks, which is a good move. However, I thought Suicide wasn't a name anymore. They were calling him Manic, because that's what they were doing with T.J. Perkins when he was under the mask. But they've changed him back to Suicide. But if that's the case, why is the logo an M? Impact Wrestling, please tell me, why is his logo an M if he's no longer Manic? Anyway, under the mask is a wrestler by the name of Caleb Conley, who is contracted to Impact Wrestling, has been since 2016. And his background comes from, he's worked with Pro Wrestling Evolution, he's worked with Ring of Honor, and he's worked with Evolve. So keen to see more of him, see how he evolves in the character, if the character works in today's environment or not. So again, there is potential positivity to come out of that. And it does, again, as I say, bolster the X Division ranks. I'm not going on too long on this, am I?
No. I'm just getting some admin stuff done whilst I'm listening.
Oh, that's a sign of boredom.
No. Let's talk about suicide.
Yes.
One, why are they bringing him back? The only reason for him was for the TNA Impact game, which I owned. It had brilliant graphics, but shit gameplay, and a decent storyline. With the whole suicide thing, but keep him in the game, or the fact that we're still talking about Suicide, what is this, 10 years after the game came out, maybe 8 years after the game came out?
My guess was going to be 9, so it fits in there somewhere.
Yeah, not amused in the slightest by that. I don't see why that character needs to be brought back in any way.
Yeah, of course. We'll just wait and see. We'll be optimistic and hope they turn something good out of it. If nothing else, for the opportunity for Caleb Conley to get some recognition. Hopefully he's a good talent. I've not really seen much of him yet, but that was a good match to really get the ball rolling with things, so we'll see where it goes. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've not seen anything of the former Damian Sandow, now Aaron Rex. I'm hoping that means it's an end to the horrific gimmick they were doing with him and Spud. Have you seen anything of that?
I haven't. I've seen Aaron Rex as a couple of promos by Aaron Rex in TNA, in Impact Wrestling, and not what I.
Sorry, expect. I'm laughing here. My Apple Watch has just flashed up a tweet you've just put out.
Oh yes.
Did you mean anyway? Bring it back to conversation.
Yeah. I'm sort of sat there going, Aaron Rex. We expect a lot of people expected Damien Sandow to be able to have a lot more creative. Once he gets that creative freedom that the WWE is holding him back from, he's going to be amazing. All right, give him all the creative freedom in the world that he gets at Impact, most likely, or at least more than he did in WWE, and it's not really doing anything great.
Well, what have you heard about that most recent gimmick change that you had?
Everything that I'd seen just seemed a little bit bland, but I don't want to bitch about it too much because I've
gone down a whole Gorgeous George kind of route.
Oh, right.
Very flamboyant, effeminate. Rockstar Spud was coming to the ring with him in a what looked like kind of a page boy kind of suit kind of thing, and was his lackey, for want of a better word. I don't know, it's just, it was so contrived, so forced, it wasn't natural, didn't make sense. It just felt wrong on every which level. It didn't seem particularly PC. I'd say a bit demeaning in certain ways as well. And I just felt that it didn't work in today's environment, it just had to go. And I'm hoping that the fact he's not been on the last 2 weeks means he's gone. And to add to that, why oh why is Rockstar Spud now relegated to ring announcer? Yes, why? Rockstar Spud is the Impact Wrestling ring announcer.
Is he injured?
Even if he is, they don't even reference him very often at all.
I wish I had an answer for you.
That's a waste of a talent.
Yeah.
Rockstar Spud, come on here. We want to know what you think of it. Where do you stand on it? Come and talk to us. Come on. Get on your Skype, give us a wee call, and we'll chat it through. Let's find out where you stand on this. What are your thoughts on where you're positioned right now in Impact Wrestling? Where does the future go for Rockstar Spud from here?
# Rockstar Spud for episode 100.
And 130,
yeah.
Okay, next thing I need to get off my chest. We need to get rid of Josh Matthews. Now, while I think that his current heel persona is better than he was doing, he's still dire. He just needs to go. He's making it painful to watch. And I just can't put up with Josh Matthews. I may even just start watching it with the mute in place. Really painful. But let's just see where they're going with the Jeremy Borash, which they're bringing Jeremy Borash onto the announce table. And they are doing far too many references to WWE directly at the moment. It needs to cut back a bit. Let's cut that down, but there's no need
this
to do it.
This has been my issue with Impact Wrestling for a long time, is that whenever I watch it, it's WWE light. And they need to find that niche, that thing that some... The reason why ECW was so great was because no one was doing hardcore wrestling at the time, or on a major stage to what they did. The reason why Lucha Underground is working so well and they're getting this whole deal with Netflix and hopefully going to find a brand new audience is because they're doing something completely different with the cinematic approach to wrestling that we've never seen before. TNA are just, I hate to say it, somewhere for WWE, ex-WWE superstars to get a job afterwards.
I'd say that's less the case than it was.
Are TNA creating new stars at the moment?
Well, they seem to be doing a bit of a relationship with Conan's Crash promotion, hence the Garza Jr. and Laredo Kid coming in this week and return of LAX and stuff like that. So they are bringing some new faces. Andrew Everett, Trevor Lee, Braxton Sutter, you know, they're all guys that hadn't really got any big-time traction before. They're growing their name, I suppose, is the way to put it, in terms of the wrestling world. So that's helping them. Eddie Kingston, again, another former ROH talent, getting time in TNA, so that's looking good for him. It's a potential boost for his career. So there are different things that they are doing, and they are doing well. Some of the female talent that they've got in place, I mentioned Ali and Laurel Van Ness earlier, you know, among the women that they're actually helping grow and develop on their roster at the moment. So they are doing a few things good, and they're continuing to push more of that out. So let's have more growing and creating new talent. Let's have that. One last thing I want to bring up, and in the last portion of the show last week, Jimmy Borish was pushing out that she will be here next week, and it kind of was like he was alluding to it being Dixie Carter, but not wanting to say that it's not going to be Dixie Carter. Mike got a few on his and that's for actually reading any spoilers on it, that it's actually Karen Jarrett, and he's making out that this person, who, whether it's Karen or not, is going to be kind of a big player and will make things happen in Impact Wrestling when they arrive. But if it's Karen Jarrett, personally, not a fan. She jars with me. I find her forced on me, and I don't enjoy watching her on TV.
Wasn't there all these stories last year about her appearing at indie events over WrestleMania weekend and
pissed?
Yeah, and being very violent and vulgar to the crowd,
spitting at people. Yeah. Yep, and a few of our friends were there to witness it.
yeah, that's how I found out about it.
Yeah. Shout out to Dan Cannon and Porter Rock and people like that who were in attendance at Wally Mania last year. So, yeah, I'm not sold, but, you know, when her hubby is in a seat of importance in Impact Wrestling, then it's kind of natural that's going to happen, unfortunately. But we'll wait and see. I am overall more positive with Impact Wrestling than I was with anything TNA have done for a long time. So I'm willing to go on, get on the boat and see where it takes us for the next while. I'm certainly more interested than I have been for a very long time, because I did almost give up the ghost.
You'll always hold on for a long time. You are one of the most... You will not give up on Impact Wrestling until its dying day, when the WWE has a double broadcast like they did with WCW and kills it off once and for all. You will still be tuning in to Challenge TV on a Friday night or whenever it airs now.
Spike TV on a Friday night. TV,
yeah.
Which is good, because it's only one day behind the States. It's one of the things I always had a problem with, is we were getting it days after. You know, I was hearing in the States on a Tuesday for a while, and we still weren't getting it until a Saturday night.
Yeah, the only time I ever came across it was when I was watching Bullseye. And Bully's special prize, a free TNA pay-per-view. and a speedboat.
And a speedboat. And on the Impact Wrestling front, Jeff Jarrett has been teasing big things for Slammiversary on the 2nd of July this year, so it'll be interesting to see where they're going with that. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
But okay, let's tie a bow on the Impact talk. I'm sure I've bored you rigid, and you don't want to hear anything else about them for another week. So let's tie a bow on that, and hopefully people have learned something. And I'd like to hear people's thoughts on Impact Wrestling. Have they improved? Are things going in the right direction? Are you interested? I know Kata has picked that back up to watch. I'd love to hear Kata's opinion on where Impact Wrestling are going, and anybody else for that matter. I know Rocky Mountain High watched the first 11 minutes but got bored because it was all talk and no action. He wants to see more action, less talk on his wrestling, so he got bored and turned off. So I do want to hear different opinions on where Impact is going. Are they doing the right thing? If not, what should they be doing? So please get in touch with us. Send us an email, youruppercut@gmail.com, or send us a tweet at EUpod with your thoughts, please, people. I'd say send the messages to us on our Facebook page, but Kai never bothers to check it anymore.
It's been very, very busy.
Even after he promised that he'd start doing it.
Yeah, I will say, ignoring that, I will say that when it comes to my thoughts from today, talking about TNA, do take them with a pinch of salt. You know, don't complain if you think I've been too cynical. I am making it clear that I'm not a fan of Impact Wrestling. So I've tried my best. I'm just not in touch with that product.
And I believe that is your 4 millionth disclaimer in your podcasting history.
Yeah, I've missed a disclaimer. The man of the man of a thousand disclaims.
Oh. And if you haven't been disclaimed by Kai yet, then you're not worth being disclaimed over. Or something. Right, okay, let's move on, shall we?
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
So let's quickly dive into final thoughts for this week. Kai, any last things you want to bring up?
I am hoping that the build to WrestleMania over the next week is really going to get me back into really enjoying wrestling, and I'm hoping that WrestleMania is going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to the upcoming indie events that I'm going to be going to. Fight Factory Wrestling Destiny are having two shows on WrestleMania Day. So that's going to be really, really cool. And I'll be going to at least one of those shows, but they are going to have their first ever steel cage match at the event as well. Lots of great stuff to come there. And you can find out more about that show by checking out my interview with Tommy Ryder right here on the Trending Topics Network, a European Uppercut special. I got to sit down with him for an hour and 20 minutes, talk all things wrestling and also about his career as a young wrestler, and lots of really cool stuff in there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to that podcast. It was a really good listen. So if you haven't done so, do so. Even Kiwi Tuts last week on this show was praising it as well. He had a lot of positivity for that interview. And we do appreciate Tommy doing that for us. So thanks, Tommy.
And it's going to, hopefully there'll be another one in the near future. And it's about to overtake the download numbers of the Honky Tonk Man interview as well. So I'm really pushing for people to download it now.
Yeah, I'm about to delete it, so it's fine. That won't happen. Over the powers under my fingertips. My final thoughts is April 12th, upcoming Discovery Wrestling having their next event at the Corn Exchange here in Edinburgh, which is actually very close to me. So it's a Tuesday night, I think, off the top of my head, and it's looking like a very, very interesting card. We've got Kenny Omega, we've got the Young Bucks, we've got Marty Skrull, we've got we've got Joe Coffey. They've got the progression of their women's tournament to crown their first ever women's champion later on this year. It's going to be a well-packed card and a very, very great show overall. I'm really looking forward to this one and going to make a point of being there as well. I had hoped to chat to Alan this week, but work has got on top of him. Hope to speak to him soon or to find out more about what they've got planned for April the 12th. So looking forward to that, and if anyone wants to find out more, check their Twitter account at Disco Wrestling, or check out discoverywrestling.com, which I believe is their web address, so check that out. But lots of good things coming this year. This is looking like a very good year for Discovery, and more power to them. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan, let's put it that way. And on that note, I think we can start rounding off on the show, Kai. Do your last minute plugs and thank yous, or anything you want to see.
You can find me on Twitter at Kai J Valentine. You can find my radio show, The Breakfast Shows, on Siren FM, including Squabble Box, Sunday mornings, 8 till 10 a.m. The other breakfast shows, Mondays, 7 till 9, and Fridays, 7 till 9 a.m. You can also find my show, Legends, on Siren FM, from 10 till 11 on a Monday night. check out... So yeah, check out all of them, but most of them are available right here on the Trending Topics Network.
I have to say, Legends is definitely still one of my favourite podcasts to listen to on the Trending Topics Network at the moment. There's quite a few good ones in there, though, let's be honest.
Got about 4 weeks worth of planned people coming up after this next week, so lots of great stuff coming up for that.
And potential changes over the summer, but we won't see any more on that.
Shh.
sorry. I don't know anything. I know nothing. I'm going to move on. Don't forget, you can email the show europeuppercut@gmail.com. You can drop us a tweet to @theEUpod, and don't forget to check out the trendingtopicsnetwork.com website as well for all the latest updates on what shows have been put out there. And you might find on there shows such as Wrestling Cheers, What's on Fight, The One-Up Club Heads Up, although that's been a little quiet for a while, Eurovision Showcase, STFU, Lucha, Squabble Box, The Wrestlecast, which is coming to an end soon. It's the end of an era. It's a sad day, but, you know, these things happen. The Tuts Experience is still on the network as well. When Kiwi's got time to do one of those, we do like a wee Tuts Experience to ourselves. Spanish Announce Table, Legends with Kai Valentine, All Beer Inside, and Anything Goes. But it's time to start rounding off. It's been a fun show. Good to get back on. And I don't know when I'm going to get time to do another one. But for now, join us next week for episode 130 as we get ready for the big one. It is WrestleMania time. So, for now, we're out of here, and we'll speak to you soon. The living legend has now left the building.
Oh, oh man!
God, mother of all European uppercuts!
And I sound like such a pretentious saying, oh shit.
Oh.
Wow, I broke the Walker rules. Can't believe it.
Yeah, well, I'll decide how I deal with that in production, but for now.